Good morning, one and all. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Delight to be here. Jan is not able to be here today. We moved into Auburn Village finally last week. And Don and Jerry, congratulations on being married 60. We're coming up 50. And we've been living in a new place now for a whole week. And my wife and often said, I don't believe in divorce, and that sounds good, but then she always adds, but murder? So, you know, so we've lived in the new place for a whole week, and I'm still alive, so the Lord is good. We're very thankful for that. But in the move, she just overstressed her ankle, which she'd broken a few years ago, and all week long has been hobbling around and just not able to get out very much. So just sad she's not here, but hopefully she'll get over that. Just want to read a couple of verses, the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, reading at verse 20, or sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Just before we continue, I just wanted to just mention what, as you know, many of you have been there and praying for it and supporting it, Hope Valley Day Camp, and it's been a tremendous year. A number of youngsters have made profession of salvation, and there have been a lot of support. And Friday, I guess it was, they're talking to a couple of different young people, and some have been there all summer. They go right from school, and you're there all summer. They're not finished until Saturday of Labor Day weekend. They get Labor Day Monday to rest up and get ready and start school on Tuesday. So it's been a long, hard draw. And the statement was, camp is almost over. Not camp is almost over, but it's almost over. It's been a fast summer. And that just shows, I think, the heart of these young people. And some of them are here today, just what they've put into it. And it's just been a tremendous privileges to be there and witness and just see how they put so much into the camp. And I'm sure the Lord will greatly bless them for that. But thank you all for your prayers and support. Without that, camp would not be what it is. In this verse that we have read, we read there that we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Some time ago, I did a study on church leadership, eldership, deacons, and so on, and then looked at the number of different terms that are used just describing Christians, what we are, who we are, what we do. And they include such things as believer, disciple, Christian, saint, brethren, elder, the presbytery, the bishops, the overseers, the shepherd, the pastor, teacher, deacon, slave, steward, salt, light, apostle, preacher, teacher, herald, and ambassador is one of them. And they each have, just teach a different aspect of who we are and what we do. I found that to be an extremely valuable study, just in understanding the Christian life. An ambassador comes from the word presbyterios, which is a comparative adjective describing the elder of two, one who is more advanced in life. And I know we have some younger ones here and some older ones. And do you ever remember that expression we might use sometimes, you know, grow up, you know, act a little older? Well, it does happen physically and spiritually. But we tend to think of an ambassador as being a more senior statesman, sometimes a stateswoman, a statesperson, that would go to another country and represent their home country. If you're following the news today, what's going on in the world, Israel being the center, and United States a close second behind, and President Tweeter Trump down there, what, you know, how he's getting all the world attention and stuff, and all just the different politics that are going on. It's just an interesting time as to who is representing what and what are you representing. It's a very interesting time. But the metaphor is applied to a representative of Christ in carrying his message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, regardless of what you think you are. We are, in various ways or forms, all of these other terms and more as to what we are in Christ. We're slaves, we're servants, we're salt, we're light, we're apostles, we're preachers, we're heralds, we're many, many different things. But we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Now, we, as an ambassador, we're not representing a particular country. Some time ago when I was given this message, I looked up at that point in time, Canadian forces were more involved in the war that was in Afghanistan and in the place where we lived. A couple of times there were processions coming in, funeral processions of soldiers that had given their life and they were coming home. And I just looked up who the ambassador was. And in that, I can't remember exactly who it was or when it was, but there have been times when an ambassador was recalled because they got too drunk on the job and this other kind of stuff. Not very good representing a particular country. But an ambassador is one, and we as ambassadors are not so much involved with politics. We're not involved with the politics. We might have our political opinions and so on, and I think maybe we do have a duty, responsibility, living in the democracy to be able to help move things along toward godliness and so on. But we have the privilege of carrying the glorious message of Christ crucified, resurrected, and glorified. We're not here to represent the National Beaver or the Maple Leaf or Maple Syrup or the Toronto Make Me Laughs or whatever. We're here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ crucified, glorified, resurrected. A tremendous responsibility. Now, not all believers are going to be a true ambassador as they should be. As we seek to live our Christian life, we find many times that people already know of some Christians, and if that's what a Christian's like, thank you, I got enough problems of my own. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that person. And there are many horrible things that are done in the name of Christ, not to mention pedophilia and homosexuality and all kinds of other things that go on. You know, I shot somebody because God told me to do it, and all kinds of horrible things that are done in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity. That's not what we represent. We represent the one who is glorious, holy, and true. But we all have the responsibility to represent him. Not all will answer the call, and not all will give more than a half-hearted attempt. In the book of Corinthians, here's three different statements that Paul makes and leading up to it. 1 Corinthians 1:18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so the message that we preach is received by many as being foolishness. You know, I mentioned, you know, we might want to support, you know, the Toronto Make Me Laughs, and you all laugh, right? And you have different opinions about a hockey team. Well, it's far beyond that, isn't it? It's about our eternal soul. It's about sin and hell, and about heaven, and about being saved. And to tell people that today, in this political correct world and so on, there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone, in talking about sin, that is a very difficult thing. But to the world, it is foolishness, but to us, it is the power of God. And this term, power of God, the word dunamis, it's the ability to accomplish. The ability to accomplish what you want to do. Do you find that true in your life? I don't find it true in my life. We, you know, just moving away from Hope Valley and been involved in camp ministry in various places and for different lengths of time and different responsibilities. And looking back and I think, oh, I want to do that, but I didn't do it. And I wish I'd have done that, and I wish I knew this. And I think, just I look back a lot of stuff and say, I could have done so much better. And you know, all know that too. And we all have that. That's just part of our human makeup. But with God, God accomplishes what he sets out to do. The world may seem, and it is in chaos. It is in rebellion against the living and true God. And as we've been speaking about at camp all summer, the Lord Jesus Christ being the King of Kings, the world has thousands of gods. Got eyes that can't see, hands that can't do anything, ears that can't hear, mouth that can't talk, feet that can't walk. They're nothing but just idols. We got a living God, a God who created this world. and a God who's developed the plan of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can and He will save those who come to Him. And one day, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to rule from the city the world hates, Jerusalem, and His Son is going to reign from there. But before that, He's going to take us as believers home to be with Him forevermore. The good work that He has begun, He will accomplish. That's, we're saved by the power of God. In chapter, a little further on, in verse 23, 24, He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." We've only one message. We're only ambassadors for one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, He says, "We preach," or "we herald," just sound forth, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In some sense, being a servant, a slave, is a rather lowly position. But there is nothing higher than being a servant, being a deacon, a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the King of Kings. We're His bride, we're His building, we're His body, but we serve Him. And then here in this chapter, He says, "Now then, we ambassador for Christ." The word ambassador is a verb. It's what we do. We are ambassadors, but we ambassador. It's our everyday life. We are representatives. And it's been said that we, while we're absent from home, we bear the responsibility. An ambassador is absent from home, bears the responsibility to represent his or her own country with dignity and with honor while living in a foreign land. As Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship, a born-again believer's citizenship, is not Canadian or American or Russian or German or whatever. We are citizens of heaven. That's where we belong. In Ephesians, Paul talks about that we are seated in the heavenlies. As far as God is concerned, He's begun a good work in us. We'll complete it. We're already home in heaven. It's just a matter of time until we catch up with, you like, with His eternal plan. But we are strangers, pilgrims in this life, and so we represent Him in this life. Now, the reception of an ambassador in a country depends upon the relationship between the countries. I would imagine that an ambassador, if we have one in North Korea, is not quite as pleasant as one maybe living in England or Australia or some other place where there are peaceful relationships. With countries that are threatening war one with another, it's a much more difficult job. But the unbelievers, those still lost in sin, are at war with God. There is a spiritual warfare going on, and it's a real warfare, and it is for the gain of an individual's soul, or it's lost. As we represent Christ, as we share the gospel, as we live the Christian life in a way that should be attractive to those who observe us, then a spiritual battle is whether or not they would want to receive that and have their sins forgiven and eternal life, or continue on the road that leads to the eternal lake of fire. The conduct of an ambassador is a reflection of the homeland. Years ago, when we lived down near Port Colborne, I went to McDonald's. I like to do that, go to McDonald's, Tim's. One, just because McDonald's, you get a, being a senior, you know, you get a discount on your coffee and you get a free refill and so on, all that stuff. But it's a nice place to go and just meet people, and sometimes you get an opportunity to witness to others. One day I was there, and there were a group of people that came in, maybe five or six people, and they were sitting there, and I noticed that they gave thanks for their food before they ate it. And I was thinking, well, on the way out, I'm going to just mention to them how nice it is to see that. You don't see it very often. But I didn't end up doing that, because there was one guy that was very, very loud and began to use a lot of four-letter words. And they weren't love and holy and hope. You know what I mean by four-letter words. And they said, "You shouldn't talk like that. You're the minister," meaning that he was the guy that had the special name and the cloth and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, the topic's in the Bible. And then went up to get a refill. He says, well, I got to go get another shot of vodka. And then when he left, the table was just like a pig pen. It looked like a bunch of two-year-olds had been there and nobody had cleaned up after him. And I kept my mouth shut. I didn't want to be identified with that brand of Christianity. Have you had that happen? Years ago, we lived in Toronto, north of Toronto. There was a particular church that we're going through, as happens almost all the time, just more court cases about pedophilia and so on. And they were called the Christian Brothers. And there were a bunch of us that worked at the Bell Canada Work Center there at 40 Esna Park. And between the bunch of us, we tried to do a lot of witnessing to others. And we just called each other brother. And they all said, are you part of those brothers? Is that what you are? You're Christian Brothers? Are you of that group? And so we stopped using the term because it was just a bad connection, not good ambassadorship. Well, just some different ways of looking at it as far as just looking at 2 Corinthians 5. We're not going to go through a whole study of the chapter, but just some different thoughts that come out of there. First is the mortality of an ambassador, of us as believers, until we are present with the Lord. That's in verse 1. Verses 6 and 9, the manner of an ambassador while absent from Christ, he's to be acceptable to Christ. The manifestation of an ambassador, one day he will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, giving account for what we have done. Verse 10, our mission is to live for Christ. Verse 15, and our merit is to be found in Christ. Verse 17, the ministry is conveyed on behalf of Christ. Verses 18 and 19, and in the last part, the message carried for Christ to the lost. But our mortality, until we're present with the Lord, from the moment that we are born again, that we are saved, and that follows a decision, a personal, informed decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And it is, whosoever will may come. God puts no limit on who he offers salvation to. Whosoever will may come. And we need to recognize that we are the ones that are lost in sin and that we need a Savior, and only he can save us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are saved when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. From that moment, in a sense, all these terms apply to us. We're the salt, the light, and so on. But we are ambassadors for Christ. We have a new life. We have a new master. We have a new purpose in life. And it is until we get home. The passage of time, each of his work to do. In the upper room, as he said to the disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will receive you unto myself. And so he is doing that. But in the meanwhile, he has left us a ministry to do, a work to go. And the command isn't to go. He knows that we are going to be somewhere in the world. Some are going to travel to the opposite side, anywhere between the North and South Pole, East, West, whatever. We're going to be somewhere, wherever you are, teach the Word of God. Make disciples. Preach the Word of God. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But our Great Commission is to teach and preach the Word of God and to make disciples. That's our part. And so we have a temporary mortal service, and when it's complete, we'll eventually be home with him. But each of us are ambassadors, and we know enough to be saved. We do represent the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great prayers, one of the great hopes, one of the great testimonies down through the years is that sometimes one member gets saved in a family. It could be a small family. Could be a large family. Sometimes it's a young child through children's work, Awana, Bible camps, and so on. Sometimes it's the mom or the dad. Somebody gets saved and they introduce the gospel into the family. And over a period of time, sometimes the whole family gets saved. Other times not. And sometimes there is breakup in the family because they don't want to have this holy roller, Bible thumper living amongst them. That's very, very hard. But sometimes just that one person gets saved and it leads to many getting saved. Now, the manner of an ambassador is that while absent from Christ, he's to be acceptable to Christ. We do care an awful lot about what people think about us. Sometimes it's maybe a little more evident in our lives, just not so much, well, how we look, when we do something, is it acceptable to others? And part of the problem with that is that we oftentimes might lower a standard so that we can be acceptable. For whatever reason, there's a variety of things that go with that. We don't want to be better than, or it's too much effort, whatever it happens to be. But to be acceptable to Christ is far different than being acceptable to other people. Because other people, well, we just do not have fully His thoughts and His ways. Sometimes we do accept mediocrity, and sometimes to accommodate our own lifestyle and choices, we would rather lower the standard so that we don't have to give up maybe some personal habits or whatever that we have that maybe we should give up as believers. But we want to be acceptable to Christ. In verses 6 through 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, he says there, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." And what he's saying is that as long as we are alive, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But our hope, our confident expectation is that either at rapture or at death, we are going to be with the Lord. It's one condition or the other. It's either we're here alive in the body or we're home with the Lord. And so Paul says that his aim, goal, is to be well-pleasing to Him. When do we do this? As long as we are absent from Him. You mentioned about retiring, and for the most part, as a Christian, do we retire? Why would you want to? When you work for the King of Kings and you're doing His calling, doing His bidding, we're all different, similar and different in a lot of ways. There's so much to do in the Christian life, and it just gets better and so on. So we do this as long as we're absent from Him. Why do we do this? So that we will be acceptable to Him. The Bible talks about us being the body of Christ, talks about us being His building. But it also talks about us being His bride. A little hard sometimes for us fellows to think of being a bride, just as sometimes the gals, sisters, might have a harder time thinking of what's it like to be the son of God. It's a type of relationship, and different than the physical relationships that we have. But when you really love someone, such as your fiancé, looking forward to marriage, to uniting your life together, you really want to do those things that are pleasing to them. And should you say or do something that is not, you don't feel very good about it. And you want to reconcile. You want to make up the difference, and you want to go on and to do what is right. And I think I could almost guarantee you, and you all know that the marriage breakup rate, even among Christians, is high, all different ages and different circumstances, and it's a very difficult time. But somewhere along the line, there's usually something that's not corrected. And in our Christian life, it's the same, our personal walk with the Lord. We, as the bride of Christ, if we offend Him, it's not the best of relationships, but we want to do what is acceptable to Him. And how do we accomplish this? By being fully submissive to Him. That's a hard one, isn't it? Submit. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Obvious or not, by our actions one with another. But to be fully submissive to Him, that's a very difficult one. It's an ongoing, continuing struggle. Now, an earthly ambassador will be granted diplomatic immunity. And a lot of movies and stories written about a political person in another country, and they commit a crime. And they say, well, you can't touch me because I have political immunity. Yeah, but you murdered somebody, you broke this law, you did whatever. Yeah, but you can't touch me because I got political immunity. We don't have that in Christ. and we ought not to have that in the world, but we seek to do that which is pleasing to Him. We're absent from the Lord, we're physically but not spiritually, but we also bear His reproach, and that is difficult. That is difficult. I'm sure that we've all had some level of persecution, probably not had anybody put a gun to our head or come through the door and arrest people or burn down our church building, or as maybe as some have had, you know, you pull up to a stop sign in some country and they throw a bunch of burning tires under your car just because you're a Christian. We've not had that, but I'm sure that we've had some form of rejection, laughing, scoffing, ridicule, sometimes loss of friends and family members that want nothing to do with us. But we still represent the Christ in our homeland. It really is a challenge, isn't it, to represent Him in that particular way. Now, an ambassador must not, while in the foreign land, interfere in its internal politics, marry one of its subjects, or practice its religion. This is why a believer must be separate, but not isolated from the world. For a believer to marry a non-believer, 2 Corinthians, very clear, it's sin. Be not unequally yoked to an unbeliever. And to get involved in its religion, it just doesn't work. And if you've been watching some of the news, even our own prime minister traveling to different countries and some of the things that go on, and it's just kind of an embarrassment to the country. And we ought not to be involved in those things. We are to be different, to be separate, but not isolated. How can we be a witness? How can we be the salt? How can we be the light unless somehow we're in the world but not of the world? And it's hard to find that balance where we don't get so involved in its system but not have the opportunity to be a witness for Him. Now in 2 Corinthians 6, the next chapter on, he talks about to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our speech, our manner, our values, our entertainment, whatever, just has to be different from what the world has. And it's interesting being in the world, but not of the world. I was just reminding myself again this year, years ago, there was a young fellow named Michael, I think his name was, and he was a senior, and I was speaking to the seniors at chapel, and just sitting out one of the doors there in the activity building, and he was wanting to know about being saved and so on. And I've been going through the flannel graph, the two roads and two destinies. And on the wide road that leads to destruction, leads to hell, there are just many different activities that are there that people get involved in. None of them in themselves really wrong, but that's just all that there is. And then there's that narrow road, that narrow gate that few find, and few there be that on it along the way. But there are some different things there, like worshiping God, giving praise, reading the Bible, praying, doing the things that the Christian do. At the same time, we still have other parts of life. There's music, there's entertainment, there's sports, there's reading, there's all kinds of things that we're involved in. And this young fellow, you happen to mention a particular style of music. Oh, hey, that's great for a young guy to like old man's music. Man, that's really great. This kid's got something. Anyhow, but he made this statement. He says, and he mentioned the kind of music, and nothing wrong with that music. There is some music that is not good, devilish, but not all music is, although we sometimes have little disagreements over the genre of music. Still can't quite convince my daughter that country western music is the best, but I'm still working on that. One of these days, we're going to get there. But anyhow, and he made this statement. He says, you know, I could listen to that music all the time, and it's good music. But he said, I wouldn't have any time for Christ. Well, that's pretty good for an 11-year-old boy. What are we involved in? What are we involved in? What occupies our time? What occupies our energy? And we have a life to live, and we have this creation to enjoy. But am I so involved with that that I don't have time for Christ? Even living at camp all the time, sometimes you get so involved in the sticks and bricks and fixing this and doing that and all this other stuff, you just don't have time. You sort of squeeze out the spiritual part.
But I'm living at a Bible camp.
Well, yeah, but are you really living at the Bible camp? You know, no matter what we're doing, we can get so involved in the thing that we really, really forget Christ. Now, our manifestation is that one day we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment, the bema seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And we all probably quite familiar with that thought, the idea of the bema seat. We liken that onto the Olympics where, you know, the gold, the silver, the bronze, you go up on the bema seat, the dais there, and you get awarded what you've already won. And one day we are going to be in heaven. And the reward will be for that which is good. And the idea of the word good there is that it's just right within itself. It's a proper thing to do, but it's beneficial to other people. Salt in the salt shaker is no good. Salt need to let the salt out so it can flavor or make thirsty. Create a thirst in other people that they want to be satisfied with the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or being a light bulb that isn't turned on doesn't give much light in the darkness. We need to be the light. Or whether it's bad, that which is worthless, that has no benefit upon other people. When nations go to war, one of the first things that they do oftentimes is bring home the ambassador. Sometimes they stay. Right now, God is not at war with the world, although they are at enmity with him. God desires that all should be saved. And so he leaves us in all these different terms that apply. But we are here as ambassadors for him to represent heaven and all that it stands for. That one day, and perhaps today, I don't know what you're planning for lunch, but you may not get to taste it. You may not get to hear the preacher say, finally it's over. We could be home in heaven. That wouldn't be so shabby, would it? Be home in heaven, the rapture, that instantaneous, we're home, he's going to come. He himself is going to come and take us home to be with him. And then our service here will be done. But we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And as we consider the ramifications and implications of all these different terminologies that are used as to who, what we are, we're going to have to give account. And I'm not so sure that we are going to receive anything negative, any punishment. I'm quite confident in that we as the bride of Christ, when we get to heaven, will not be punished for the negative we did. But rather, I think there'll be an awareness of just how much better the rewards could have been had we been as fully faithful as we could be. He will give us what we have earned. And I got kind of a feeling that maybe just over in the side there's going to be another few that maybe we could have had. I don't know. If I'm wrong, you can tell me when I get there. You know, I know I'll be wrong once in a while, but his desire is to bless us. When he comes, it says his reward is with him. And his desire that we would be able to accomplish that which we have done. And I think one of the beautiful things in the Gospels, when the Lord talks about those with the talents and so on, that those that were faithful and increased, he says, enter into the joy of your Lord. And that's why we would go through these things. Our time is gone. I'm going to get through the rest. It's all there in the Word of God if you want it, but anyhow. But we have a tremendous privilege to serve him, don't we? And this is a day and age, and you go anywhere and talk to people and say, like, what in the world is going on? What's happening? What's the future going to hold? And we got the answers, don't we? But we are ambassadors for Christ. We're the salt, we're the light, and we represent heaven. And we have the privilege of being able to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ and what he's done. But also, somehow we need to get across the negative side. I'm sorry, but unless you're saved, you're going to hell. And unless they see themselves as being lost, why would they want to get saved? It's not just they need a little adjustment in their behavior or something like that. It's a whole new life. It's going from death to life, from going from darkness to light, from going from being an enemy of God to being a child of God, going from paying the penalty of your own sin of disobedience. The only sin that will cast a person like a fire is not obeying God's command, be saved. Not any other sin will condemn a person to hell, but Christ has already paid the penalty. The only sin he can't forgive is that of unbelief. And that's our mission as ambassadors for Christ, to be able to go forth and tell that. Well, we just hope that these will be words of encouragement to us as we move about this world. And again, thank you for all your prayers and support for the camp and for the many young people that stand in the front lines and do such a great job, and especially in the warm, hot weather. But it's a great life, and we know that we have a Savior that is directing all these things. And it's such a wonderful joy to hear this summer of many youth that have come to know Christ as Savior. The Lord blesses in so many ways. Let's pray.